You're listening to Augmented Humanity. Our guests are modern explorers working at the intersection of technology and the humanities. They help us to understand ourselves and the worlds we create in this digital age. They are thinkers, creators, makers, and academics working in diverse fields like geography, the visual arts, performing arts, storytelling, and literature. I'm your host, Craig Goldsmith.
I'm your host, Ellen Dornan.
We're joined on this program by Peter St. Cyr, the director of Open Access New Mexico, a nonprofit that advocates for access to online government information and provides training and tools for data-driven citizen engagement. Peter is an experienced journalist with a long history of investigating political corruption. He has been recognized for excellence by the National Academy of Television Arts and Sciences, the New Mexico Broadcasters Association, the Associated Press, and the Society of Professional Journalists. He has contributed stories to ABC News, Fox News, CNN, the Santa Fe Reporter, and to online news portals like NM Politics and New Mexico In Depth. He was a co-founder of the Southwest Center for Investigative Journalism and is the former director of the New Mexico Foundation for Open Government. For the past year, he's been advocating for an Open Data Act.
Peter, with the data that New Mexico, say at the state level, already has available, is there a one-stop shop? Are there easy tools for citizens to use to access and use and understand the data?
That's a difficult question in the fact that, you know, several years ago they created a Sunshine portal, and the portal has the potential to be a one-stop shop. But I don't know many citizens or journalists who use it because it doesn't emit very much sunlight in its current state. It's a very good first attempt. It needs some work to evolve into government 2.0 and to be able to provide data in what we would call its native format and not locked down into PDFs. When you get a PDF, it's been basically already filtered by the government, and it doesn't allow you to then easily resort the information. And so we'd like to see that evolve and to have the government index the data they collect and then to start to publish data catalogs online. We are pushing the Legislative Finance Committee to allocate a small percentage of all this new oil and gas revenue to upgrading its hardware, its software, and its cloud storage space so that we will have the capacity to put more of this data online. Hopefully that will evolve quickly once they, you know, hire a chief data officer to take care of implementing whatever they adopt in this Data Act.
They being
the legislature.
New Mexico.
Yeah.
Okay. Is there, say, at the state level, or should there be at the state level, and I guess at the city level, a data officer? And if there is going to be such a thing, it still has to get paid for. I mean, there's some practical concerns here, it would seem like.
You are going to have to definitely recruit new talent to be able to roll this out in a way that makes sense. And it is a balance between having those information technology skills, the programming, the LAN and the WAN and the WAP and all the security codes that need to be installed to prevent cyber attacks and the firewalls that needed to be. But there also needs to be this policy view. And that's why we recommend that the governor work with legislators to set up a work group that has a chief data officer that works for information technology, but at a managerial level that's able to adopt the policy and make sure it rolls out in a way that Ellen, you, and I can access.
And I will say, as the data officer for the New Mexico Humanities Council, part of that job is if under EU law somebody makes a request to scrub their privacy data, you have to be able to identify all digital and hard copies where that data is stored and determine if it can be scrubbed or if it's federally required public information.
And so I will tell you, we've amended our agenda to not only be advocating for the Data Act and the standards, but also for a really robust Privacy Act. you know, they should also make sure that there's a privacy steward and that the two work together to protect our private interest, to make sure that the public interest is represented and open.
But you really would like to see a human with maybe a small department at the state level that's going to manage the cataloging, then access to this data.
Under the auspice of the legislative directed policies and acts, that they don't, you know, usurp them and exceed those authorities by blocking access. But there are common sense privacy standards that can be adopted into law that make sense to all of us.
There may be open standards for providing what I now am thinking of as civic data, but are there actual tools that are already available that can be put into place for making this happen? And I mean in a very concrete sense. I mean, other states have done this successfully. Are there open source data projects that can be implemented without having to reinvent the wheel and without spending huge amounts of money?
You've again nailed it on the head, Craig, and there are. There are vendors that have set up shop. They're innovative. They're entrepreneurial. They're helping governments. Bernalillo County uses a vendor called, no less, OpenGov. That's the name of their company. At the federal level, if a department creates a program to run some aspect of the management of that federal agency, they have to put that program in a catalog so that other agencies can adopt that same program and save money and build efficiencies, because that program's doing that here. It might work here. It might need just a few adjustments. So the standards are in place and they're being shared because everything is open source. And that is the beauty of an open knowledge system. And the really beautiful thing is that it works its way down to the economy. You know, we have heard all the time about the income inequality gaps. One way to close the gaps is through information. It really is the gold standard. It gives underserved communities without a voice a new voice in their policies of their community.
Or the ability for advocates for that community to get something meaningful done. So I'm also wondering, are there actual specific tools for interpreting, analyzing, doing data visualization on these open government data standards?
Yeah, you know, we are going to be training people how to use data in simple things like Excel or into Tableau, which is a program that allows you to visualize and use maps like you were talking about. Maps are a great way to visualize data. For instance, see counties that have disparity in access to healthcare or disparity to legal access by plotting the number of lawyers or doctors in a county and then color coding those counties. You know, you immediately visually see where the problems are or where the opportunities are. There are plenty of tools, and we're going to be providing training to use them for free at libraries. Libraries are a great resource for data and information. You can log on with your library card to the Albuquerque Public Library and have access to databases of all the new companies that have set up in Bernalillo County in the last 2 months. You can access the chief executive officer's names and emails, how much money they make, and you don't have to spend a penny getting the information. And that's where we're going to have our training sessions, working with libraries throughout the community, because they're going to be a really big partner. Just think about it. Libraries forever have been where you go to get information, and now they're going to be where we go to get
information.
As a matter of fact, I propose that government websites be modeled a lot like libraries.
The idea of doing it in libraries is actually brilliant. It's such a no-brainer. It also obviates, you know, one of the things I was thinking about, a concern, which is people that may have the desire to do something with this kind of data but don't have a computer that's sophisticated enough, or in some cases, even though it's nice to say that we'll have all this open source data, open source programs, but for example, you were mentioning using Excel, which is a paid piece of software. A library could have a computer that may be able to handle that better, have the bandwidth, but also have someone on hand who can help with actually executing it.
And, you know, there are programs like that kids are a lot more adept at using than you and I, Ruby and Python. And the library has free training.
Speak for yourself there.
The library provides free training on all those computer programs as well. And those programs can scrape a website.
Right.
They can scrape a data table. And if the government maybe doesn't want to provide you the data, if you know how to scrape a website, you can go collect it yourself.
I'm curious, because you've been at this for a pretty long time, do you see increasing levels of data literacy, both around the use of it, but also around the creation? And what you were saying is one of the starts for the government is to index the data so we actually know what we have. And what we've heard from archivists is that when you start trying to describe data, you discover the gaps in your information, or you discover that you need to add some structure in the metadata to make it a little bit easier to use or a little bit easier to find. Is that getting better?
We have some really great people in New Mexico who have gone to get grants to provide training to youth and adults even on this program coding. You know, I talked about information being a way to eliminate barriers, but it has been in the past a barrier because you needed to be technically savvy to be able to scrape it and to code it and to be able to use it and visualize it. But there are Charles Arisim and other groups, PNM's provided a lot of money to provide training to, you know, girl data camps and school camps on coding, and I think that it's going to become more commonplace. The kids really just have an aptitude for it. But New Mexico is going to definitely have to recruit talent to be able to roll it through the government.
You have to have people that are talented enough and committed.
And that can be a challenge because a lot of them want to go to work building their own apps or for a private industry where they can make a whole lot more money. And so we need to make it appealing for them to go to work in government service.
Given that you're hoping for more open access to data in the state of New Mexico and a standard for that data to be presented, where are those efforts actually at this point? How, where, and when would citizens that want to see more of this get involved?
They definitely need to call their elected leaders, whether they're at the Roundhouse in the Senate or the House or a county commission or a city councilor, and ask them to adopt a data policy. There is no data act in ordinance or state statute anywhere in New Mexico at this point, and we want to see it, you know, become codified.
So who at the state legislative level, who are some of the leaders who have been pushing the state into the 21st century data-wise?
There are a couple real leaders. Senator Sandra Rue has been instrumental in keeping as much data open to the public as possible and by requiring state agencies to put it up on the Sunshine Portal. Senator Joseph Cervantes from Las Cruces has been instrumental in making sure that budget decisions, and when they get together with their conferences, had to be open to the public, and will be instrumental in helping us get a data act through the legislature eventually. Daniel Ivy Soto has been a big open government friend. And Representative Linda Trujillo is a key player now. She had been the state records administrator working for the Commission of Public Records, and she has a very good idea of all the rules around archiving, and will be great when we take a bill to require records custodians to have a minimum level of job qualifications. We would like records custodians to be amply renamed record providers. I would like to see them become classified employees and bureaucrats that push back against new political administrations that say, no, I'm not going to withhold the data or the information and break the law for you. It's my responsibility to provide this information. And if we have that kind of tension between the political class and the bureaucratic class, then we'll get more information out to the public.
That seems like a really positive place to end things. Peter, this has just been a fascinating discussion. Thank you so much for being with us. If you want to learn more about the work Open Access New Mexico is doing, visit their Facebook page, follow them on Twitter at OpenAccessNM, or visit their website at OpenAccessNM.org. Augmented Humanity is a program of the New Mexico Humanities Council, produced in partnership with KUNM-FM. You can visit us online and find out more about our programs at nmhumanities.org. Our theme music comes courtesy James Whiten, and we've had production assistance from Tristan Klum.